You know, I want you to just imagine walking into a really high-end law firm right now, or maybe a boutique accounting office, like the kind that handles multi-generational wealth.
Oh, sure. Very mahogany.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of mahogany. Think about the physical experience of that for a second. You walk through these thick, heavy glass doors. There's a quiet hum of air conditioning. The receptionist is sitting behind this beautifully polished desk, and you know, the filing cabinets in the back are solid steel.
Right.
Before you even speak a single word to a human being, you have certain expectations, right? You expect those heavy doors to be locked after hours. You expect a certain level of, well, professional discretion. It's atmospheric. It's this undeniable feeling of safety.
Yeah, it is an implicit trust. I mean, you aren't asking the receptionist to pause what they are doing so you can physically inspect the locking mechanism on the filing cabinet before you sit down for your consultation.
Oh, right. Excuse me. Are these Mitico locks?
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody does that.
Exactly. We as humans are just wired to look for environmental cues that make things feel secure without having to, inspect the underlying mechanics of it.
Right. You just absorb the vibe and assume that professionals have it handled. But today, we're looking at a reality where that implicit trust is completely, utterly broken in the digital world.
It really is completely shattered.
We are stepping into a landscape where the invisible mechanics of trust have been dragged out into the spotlight, and they're being judged really harshly. So if you are listening to this, you are likely an ambitious professional. Maybe you are a lawyer, an accountant, or a small business owner, and maybe you are trying to figure out why your digital presence just isn't pulling its weight anymore. Or maybe you're just intensely curious about how the hidden gears of the internet have drastically shifted as we sit here in 2026.
And what's fascinating here is that we are witnessing the absolute definition of a paradigm shift. We're moving from an era of assumed security to an era of demanded visible proof.
And that brings us to the core mission of today's deep dive. Website security is no longer this invisible back office IT chore.
Not at all.
You know, it used to be something you pay a guy to deal with once a year so you can forget about it and go back to running your business. That is dead. It is now your most public-facing marketing asset. It is a critical search engine ranking signal. And if ignored, it is a severe legal liability.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's unpack this. How did a highly technical, detail-like website encryption suddenly become the ultimate deciding factor for whether an AI assistant recommends your business or like a client decides to trust you with their sensitive data? It feels like we skipped a massive step between have a nice-looking website and prove your cryptographic integrity to a machine.
Well, what's fascinating here is that we are looking at a fundamental evolution of the very definition of digital trust. It is no longer just about keeping hackers out of your database. I mean, it is about proactively proving to the entire digital ecosystem that you are a legitimate, legally compliant entity.
Proving it to the machines before you prove it to the humans.
Exactly. And to break this down, we are pulling from a stack of incredibly insightful sources today. We are anchoring this discussion around a comprehensive 2026 breakdown by Everything Counts, which it outlines cybersecurity as the new overriding SEO priority.
Right.
We are also integrating the latest data on Google's algorithmic shifts, which have completely rewritten the rule book over the last year, and combining that with the stringent new data privacy laws that are currently being aggressively enforced.
And we're going to be hyper-focusing on what that looks like in Virginia because the stakes there are just incredibly high right now. But before we get to the legal threats and before we start fixing anything, we need to talk about the internet itself because the rules fundamentally changed between 2024 and today, April 2026. Why did security suddenly become a blaring, public-facing ranking signal?
To understand the why, we really have to look at the primary gatekeeper of the internet, which is Google, specifically the Google Core update from March 2025.
Oh, that was a big one.
Massive. This wasn't a standard tweak to how the algorithm reads keywords or evaluates backlinks. This fundamentally reweighted the entire system.
You know, people in the SEO world always talk about Google updates like they are catastrophic weather events. Oh, a storm is coming. Better batten down the SEO hatches. But looking at the sources, this one actually lived up to the hype, didn't it?
It did. It really did. The data here is staggering. Security factors now account for roughly 12% of Google's total ranking weight.
12%.
Yeah.
Wow.
And to put that into historical context, we have data from NameSilo back in 2023 where security was hovering around a 7% weighting.
So almost a doubling of importance in a couple of years. Okay, but let me put myself in the shoes of our listener. I run a local business. I'm not a digital marketer. What does a 12% weighting actually mean in the fiercely competitive world of search rankings? Because 12% out of 100 might not sound like a completely overwhelming number to someone outside of the industry.
Oh, I see what you mean. But in the realm of search algorithms, 12% is an absolute titan. Consider that Google uses hundreds of different microscopic signals to decide who gets to be on page one.
Right, like site speed?
Site speed, content quality, mobile responsiveness, backlinks, user behavior, literally hundreds of factors. So for a single category like security to suddenly command 12% of the entire decision-making process, well, it means it has transcended being a mere tiebreaker.
A tiebreaker being, like, if my site and my competitor's site are basically identical in quality, Google uses security to pick the winner.
That is exactly how it used to work. But now it's a primary pillar. If your security isn't up to modern standards, you aren't even allowed in the race. Your great content and your expensive backlinks are neutralized.
Neutralized, just instantly.
Yep. The EverySync Counts analysis highlights that pages with properly configured strong security recently saw an average 15% ranking improvement globally following that March 2025 update.
A 15% boost just for having the right digital locks on the doors. That is wild. But looking through the research, it's not just about pleasing the Google bots, is it? There's a massive human psychological element to this,
That's
too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because the Search Engine Journal published data in 2025 showing that properly configured HTTPS sites boast a 24% higher click-through rate. Why are humans reacting so strongly to a technical configuration? Like, the average person doesn't know what HTTPS stands for.
No, they don't. But it's because users are either consciously or subconsciously recognizing digital safety cues. When someone searches for a financial advisor and they see a site that loads without browser hesitation, that presents clean URLs without warnings, their brain registers safety.
Right. It feels like walking into that mahogany office.
Exactly.
Right.
They're more willing to click, to stay, and to engage with the content. The friction is removed.
Okay. But the flip side of that is where it gets terrifying. Because if good security removes friction, bad security is about to become a brick wall. Look at this Chrome 154 ultimatum coming down the pipeline. Starting in October 2026, Google Chrome is going to make always use secure connections the default setting for every single user.
This is a monumental shift in browser behavior. Historically, if a user clicked a link to an insecure HTTP site, the browser would load the page, but it would put a subtle gray, not secure warning in the corner of the URL bar.
Which nobody read.
Right. Most users simply ignored it.
But Chrome 154 changes the sequence of events entirely.
Yes. It is a preemptive strike. Instead of letting the page load and showing a subtle warning, the browser will intercept the user experience entirely. It will actively warn users before they are even allowed to enter the public HTTP site.
Wow.
They will hit a full screen interstitial page, usually bright red or stark white with a massive warning icon, telling them the connection is not private and attackers might be trying to steal their information.
That is brutal. I'm just picturing a prospective client trying to visit a boutique accounting firm. It is literally like having a massive neon danger sign planted right on the front door of your physical office. And a bouncer standing out front telling people they might get robbed if they go inside.
That's a great way to look at it.
It doesn't matter how nice your waiting room is. It doesn't matter how great the coffee you serve is. People will just turn around and walk away.
That is precisely the behavioral psychology at play. When faced with that full screen warning, the vast majority of people immediately abandon the site. They don't dig into the settings to click advanced and proceed to unsafe site.
Right, because that feels like you're actively choosing to get hacked.
Exactly. They just hit the back button. Think about the...
Okay, I hear the threat. But let me push back on this for a second because I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Doesn't everyone have that little padlock icon now? I mean, I thought we solved this whole HTTPS thing years ago. You can get free SSL certificates from your web host with one click. Isn't this old news? Why are we treating this like a 2026 crisis?
It is a very common misconception, and it's what the EverySync Counts breakdown calls the illusion of the padlock. We tend to think of internet security as a binary thing. You know, you either have the lock or you don't.
Right.
But if we look at the 2026 data from W3 Techs, yes, 92.6% of the top websites use HTTPS by default. But that still leaves an astonishing 13% of active sites lacking a valid SSL altogether.
Wait, 13% of the internet is just completely unprotected?
Yes. They're walking around with their digital front doors wide open.
Okay, but wait, that means 87% are protected, right?
Not exactly. And here's where the data gets truly alarming. A Qualys SSL Pulse survey from June 2025 went deeper. They surveyed the top websites that actually have certificates, the ones that have the padlock. And they found that 28.7% of them get failing or low grades, like a B, C, or F due to bad configuration.
Wait, I need an analogy for this. Because to me, a lock is a lock. Are you saying they bought the heavy steel lock, but they installed it upside down on the screen door? Or they left the default factory 1234 passcode on it?
That is an excellent way to conceptualize it. Let's look at the mechanics of it. When you get an SSL certificate, it's not just a digital sticker. It relies on complex cryptography. These 28.7% of websites might have incomplete certificate chains.
Incomplete certificate chains. What does that mean?
Think of a certificate chain like a digital paper trail. Your website's specific certificate has to link back through a series of intermediate certificates to a trusted root authority, essentially a master registry that browsers trust.
Okay.
If a link in that chain is missing because whoever set up the site didn't install the intermediate files properly, the browser panics. It says, I see a lock, but I don't know who made it, so I don't trust it.
Ah, okay. So it's not just having the certificate, it's proving the provenance of it.
Furthermore, many of these failing sites are using what we call outdated cipher suites.
Cipher suites. Okay, break that down for me, because that sounds like spy movie stuff.
A cipher suite is the actual mathematical puzzle that the lock uses to scramble the data between the website and the visitor. And cryptography is an arms race. A mathematical puzzle that was considered unbreakable 5 years ago can be solved by modern computers in seconds today.
Oh, wow.
If your website is using an outdated cipher suite, it means your lock can be picked by an automated bot before a human even realizes what happened.
So you have the padlock icon on your browser, giving you this false sense of security, but the mathematical puzzle behind it is basically a child's riddle.
Precisely. And to Google's algorithm, a misconfigured certificate with a weak cipher suite is practically as bad as no certificate at all. You might fool a casual human observer who just glances at the URL bar, but you cannot fool the search engine, and you cannot fool the browser's deeper security checks.
Okay, so we've established that the algorithms are punishing bad security globally. It's just a worldwide bloodbath for poorly configured sites. But let's zoom in geographically. What does this mean for our listener who isn't a global e-commerce giant? If you are operating in the professional services sector in Virginia, the forces indicate that these technical requirements suddenly become a fierce, localized, competitive battleground.
We really have to understand the unique economic profile of the Virginia I-95 corridor to get this.
Right.
If you look at the stretch from Richmond up through Fredericksburg, including areas like Stafford and Spotsylvania, it is heavily saturated with high-stakes professional services.
Yeah.
We are talking about law firms, specialized accounting practices, healthcare-adjacent businesses, and high-level financial advisory firms.
In those specific fields, client confidentiality isn't just a nice-to-have feature. It's not like a retail store offering free Wi-Fi in the lobby. Confidentiality is the fundamental expectation of the entire business relationship.
Take a lawyer in Fredericksburg, for example. Their clients are routinely sharing highly sensitive legal documents, intellectual property, or deep financial data. Sophisticated clients, especially corporate clients or high net worth individuals, are actively evaluating your security posture before they ever pick up the phone to book a consultation.
So they're snooping around your site first.
Absolutely. If a corporate client pulls up your firm's website to read a partner's bio and their enterprise browser flashes a not secure warning, or, even worse, their corporate firewall straight up blocks your site because of an expired certificate chain, you have lost that massive contract before you even knew it existed.
They just quietly move on to the next firm in the search results. And there is another massive factor in Virginia that makes this environment so uniquely high stakes. Federal contractors.
Yeah, huge point.
A huge share of businesses in this exact corridor either serve federal agencies directly or they subcontract to prime contractors who do.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the federal government operates under incredibly stringent cybersecurity frameworks, things like CMMC, the Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification. And those cybersecurity expectations don't just apply to Lockheed Martin or Boeing. They flow down the entire supply chain.
Flow down meaning the prime contractor has to make sure all the little guys they hire are also secure.
Exactly. If a massive defense contractor in Northern Virginia is looking for a local accounting firm in Stafford to handle some specialized tax overflow, they are performing rigorous due diligence. An insecure website is an immediate non-negotiable disqualifier for these highly lucrative vendor relationships.
Right, because it's a weak link.
The prime contractor cannot risk bringing a weak digital link into their ecosystem. Your outdated cipher suite just cost you a multi-year federal subcontract.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. We've spent the last 20 minutes talking about the risks, the algorithm penalties, the lost contracts. It's a lot of doom and gloom.
It is a bit heavy, yeah.
But whenever there is a massive shift like this, there's also a massive opportunity for the people paying attention. The sources point out something fascinating about the surrounding, slightly underserved counties outside the dense Northern Virginia metro. Places like Caroline, King George, Westmoreland, and Essex.
The source data reveals a very low saturation of properly security-configured professional services sites in those specific areas. Many small to mid-sized businesses there are still operating on legacy websites they built 5, maybe 10 years ago and haven't touched since.
So let's play this out. If you are an ambitious accountant in King George and you take the time right now to upgrade your site so it is fully secured, blazingly fast, and completely compliant with all the modern protocols, you suddenly become the obvious, undeniable, trustworthy choice in your local area. It's a first mover advantage.
It creates a stark, highly visible contrast for the consumer. When the local client is doing their research, and the choice is between a competitor site that their Chrome browser says is dangerous and your site that proudly displays modern security credentials and loads instantly, the consumer decision becomes frictionless.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
You win the client simply by being the safest option on the screen. It is exactly like the advantage early adopters of local SEO tactics had a decade ago.
That is a huge carrot for businesses willing to put in the work. But unfortunately, we have to transition back to this.
All right, the legal side.
Yeah. We've established that bad security costs you search rankings and it costs you potential clients. But in Virginia, the consequences go far beyond just lost revenue or bad SEO. They crock over into direct legal peril. Earlier, you casually mentioned that ignoring this stuff is a severe legal liability. Are we talking about getting sued by a client because their data leaked? Or is there some internet police force handing out tickets now?
It is actually the latter, and the tickets are financially devastating. We have to look at state-level legislation, specifically the Virginia Consumer Data Protection Act, or VCDPA.
VCDPA, okay.
This isn't some abstract piece of future legislation being debated in a committee. This has been actively effective and enforceable since January 4th, 2023. And it recently got significantly stricter with amended children's privacy provisions that fully kicked in on January 1st, 2025.
Okay, let's break this down clearly. Who exactly does the VCDPA apply to? I know a lot of small business owners immediately tune out when they hear Data Protection Act because they just assume it only targets Google or Facebook.
Right. They think it's for the tech giants.
Yeah.
But legally speaking, the DCDPA thresholds apply to businesses that control or process the personal data of at least 100,000 Virginia residents annually. Or alternatively, businesses that process the data of 25,000 Virginia residents while deriving over 50% of their gross revenue from the sale of personal data.
Okay. So there is a volume threshold. But what happens if you cross that threshold and you aren't compliant? What are the actual teeth of this law?
Well, the Virginia Attorney General has the sole authority to enforce this, and they can levy maximum penalties of up to $7,500 per intentional violation.
Wait, $7,500 per violation?
Yes.
So wait, let's do the math on that. If I have a contact form on my site that improperly collects and stores the data of 100 users without the right legal disclosures, is that one violation or 100 violations?
The language is per violation, meaning it can multiply per user affected. It can scale into the hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars incredibly fast.
Wow. I am just picturing a mid-sized accounting firm having to sell their office building to pay the state of Virginia because they forgot to update a privacy policy. That is dark.
It is a reality they have to face.
But let me play devil's advocate here for a second because I know exactly what our listeners are thinking. Let's say I run a small 3-person local accounting firm in Spotsylvania. I do not get 100,000 unique visitors to my website a year. I certainly do not sell my clients' data to data brokers. Do I really need to care about this VCDPA stuff? Am I exempt?
It is a very fair question. And technically, under the strict letter of the threshold, you might be exempt from the Attorney General's direct fines.
Okay, phew.
However.
Proto say however.
Always. Focusing solely on the legal threshold misses the practical reality of how the internet works in 2026. A VCDPA-compliant privacy policy has transcended its original legal function. It has become what Eversyn Counts calls a universal trust signal.
A universal trust signal,
yeah.
Meaning even if the law doesn't strictly force you to have it, the entire ecosystem, your clients, your partners, your software, expects you to have it.
Precisely. Sophisticated clients expect this level of professionalism. If you want to land that federal subcontract we talked about, the prime contractor will demand it regardless of your visitor count. But furthermore, there is massive compliance risk hidden in the everyday tools that small businesses use.
Like what?
Does your website use Google Analytics to track visitor counts? Do you have a Facebook pixel running so you can track how well your local ads are doing?
Oh, yeah. Pretty much every business website on Earth has at least one of those running in the background.
If you are running those tools, you are collecting data.
Okay.
And if you are collecting that analytics data without an explicit functional cookie consent banner, you are exposing yourself to significant risks under broader, evolving interpretations of privacy expectations. And here is a massive red flag that auditors and automated systems look for. If your website's privacy policy hasn't been updated since January 2023, it means your policy predates the VCDPA's enforcement period entirely.
Oh, wow. So the date stamped on the policy tells a story.
Yes. Anyone who knows what they are looking at, a corporate client doing due diligence, a legal auditor, or, as we will discuss shortly, an AI crawler, will instantly recognize that your compliance is years out of date. It signals that you are asleep at the wheel regarding data protection.
Okay, so we understand the algorithm is punishing us. We see the highly competitive landscape in Virginia. And we are appropriately terrified of the $7,500 legal threats and the loss of trust. The question we have to answer for the listener right now is, how do we actually fix this? We can't just leave them with the anxiety.
No, we have solutions.
Right. The sources we are looking at outline a brilliant, highly structured three-part framework called the Visible Trust Stack. Let's build it layer by layer so our listeners can bulletproof their digital presence.
Let's build the stack. Layer one is what the Eversyn Counts analysis calls the digital lock. This is about modernizing your encryption at the server level. As we discussed with the illusion of the padlock, the basic, outdated SSL configuration is dead. Google's 2025 standards now require TLS 1.3 as the absolute minimum protocol version.
TLS 1.3. For the non-engineers listening, what does that actually mean and how does it differ from older versions?
So TLS stands for Transport Layer Security. It is the cryptographic protocol that ensures the connection between your website server and your visitor's browser is private, authenticated, and unmodified.
Okay.
It is the mechanism that scrambles the data so nobody sitting on the same coffee shop Wi-Fi network can intercept the passwords or legal documents being uploaded. Older versions, specifically TLS 1.0 and 1.1, have been completely deprecated across the web. They are considered fundamentally broken and insecure by modern standards.
So relying on TLS 1.0 is like locking your bank vault with a rusty diary key. I mean, technically, yes, there is a physical lock on the door. You can legally say the door is locked. But anyone who knows what they're doing, any automated bot scanning the web for vulnerabilities, can bypass it in seconds.
Exactly. To complete layer one, you don't just need TLS 1.3. You also need that valid complete certificate chain we talked about earlier to prove the lock's authenticity. And you also need to implement something called HSTS headers.
HSTS. More alphabet soup. What is that doing for us?
Yeah. HSTS stands for HTTP Strict Transport Security. It is a powerful directive that your server sends to the visitor's browser. It essentially tells the browser, hey, never ever load this site over an insecure connection. Even if the user accidentally types HTTP instead of HTTPS or clicks an old link, I want you to force the secure connection.
So the fail-safe mechanism.
Yes. It prevents what we call protocol downgrade attacks. This is where a malicious actor intercepts the connection and tries to force the browser to drop the encryption so they can steal data in plain text. HSTS absolutely forbids the browser from doing that.
Okay, so this sounds highly technical. If I'm a business owner listening to this while commuting on I-95, I don't know how to check my server headers. What is the immediate actionable step I can take right now to see if my digital lock is rusty?
It is incredibly simple and free. You go to ssalabs.com/SATest. This is a tool provided by Qualys, the cybersecurity firm we referenced earlier. You simply type in your web address and it runs a deep, comprehensive diagnostic on your server's configuration. It checks your protocols, your cipher suites, your certificate chain, everything.
And what are we looking for?
You are looking for an A grade. If your site gets anything lower than an A, A, B, a C, or an F, your configuration is broken. You are bleeding search engine rankings, and you are leaving your clients vulnerable.
Just to reiterate how incredibly common this problem is, the W3 Tech sources state that only 75.3% of top websites currently support TLS 1.3. That means 1 in 4 major websites out there are vulnerable and running on outdated tech. Think about how much higher that failure rate is for small local businesses. Do not assume your web guy handled this 3 years ago just because the site looks pretty.
That is a critical warning. Now, assuming you've tested your site and layer one is secure, we move up the stack to layer two, zero-party data transparency. This is your privacy policy.
Historically, the privacy policy was a joke. It was that massive block of dense legal fine print buried in the footer of the website in size 8 font that literally nobody ever read. Most businesses just copy-pasted it from a free template back in 2015 and never thought about it again.
Right. But that era is completely over. The EverySync Counts analysis redefines the privacy policy completely. It is no longer static legal fine print. It is dynamic, zero-party data transparency.
Zero-party data. What is the distinction there?
Zero-party data is data that a customer intentionally, proactively, and explicitly shares with a brand. This includes preference center data, purchase intentions, personal context, and how they want to be recognized. And how you explicitly declare your handling of that data is critical not just for legal compliance, but for visibility.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, AI assistants are changing the game here.
Yeah.
AI tools like Google's Gemini are actively crawling the web right now. And they don't just read your blog post to find answers to user queries. They actively read and analyze your privacy policy.
This is a monumental shift in how search and discovery work. AI overviews, or AEO, require a massive amount of verified trust before the AI will synthesize an answer and cite your business as the definitive source. Gemini judges your privacy policy to determine if your business is legally and ethically trustworthy enough to recommend to a user, if your policy is missing, if it's outdated, or if it's filled with contradictory, confusing legalese that the AI can't parse, the AI simply moves on and recommends your competitor.
So how do we fix this? What makes an AI-readable VCDPA-compliant privacy policy? What are the actual structural requirements we need to build into layer two?
First, the policy needs to be deeply machine-readable. That means using clear HTML headings, H1s, H2s, H3s, to logically separate the sections. It requires a complete absence of what we call jargon walls, those massive blocks of text that say nothing. It needs to explicitly state exactly what data is collected, the precise business reason why it is collected, who it is shared with, and how long it is retained before being deleted.
And what about the tracking tools I mentioned earlier?
It absolutely must be tied to a functional cookie consent banner. If you use Google Analytics or Facebook Pixel, the user must have the ability to opt in or opt out, and your policy must reflect that choice.
Let's talk implementation, because how you actually execute this depends heavily on how your website is built. Let's say you are one of the millions of businesses running on WordPress. You aren't a coder. How do you fix layer two?
For content management systems like WordPress, you should absolutely not try to hand code this or rely on a static template. You need dynamic compliance. There are dedicated, highly trusted plugins like Compliance or CookieYes.
Okay, I've heard of those.
Yeah. What these tools do is brilliant. They automatically scan your site on a regular basis, detect exactly what cookies and tracking scripts are firing, dynamically generate a VCDPA-compliant policy based on those findings, and manage the consent banner pop-up seamlessly. As the laws change or as you add new plugins to your site, the policy updates automatically.
That takes a massive weight off the business owner's shoulders.
Uh-huh.
But what if you are a larger firm or maybe a tech-forward startup and you are using a custom static build instead of WordPress?
For customer static builds, you want to implement what is called FAQ page schema markup within the HTML of your privacy page.
Schema markup. I love this concept. Explain how this works for the AI.
Schema markup is a specific vocabulary of code that you wrap around your text. It is invisible to the human reader, but it explicitly categorizes the information for the AI crawlers.
So instead of the AI having to read the whole complicated book to figure out what it's about, schema markup is like slapping a scannable barcode and a highly detailed Dewey Decimal label on the back of the book.
That is exactly what it is. You are telling the AI, here is the specific question regarding consumer data rights, and here is our transparent, legally compliant answer. It feeds the information directly into the machine's preferred format, guaranteeing that Gemini understands our compliance.
Okay, so let's take a breath and look at the fortress we've built so far. You have the TLS 1.3 digital lock with HSTS headers. That's layer one. You have an AI-readable, dynamically updated VCDPA-compliant privacy policy with schema markup. That's layer two. Technologically speaking, your site is perfect. It's an impenetrable digital fortress. The search engines love it. The AI assistants trust it to generate answers. And the Virginia Attorney General has absolutely no reason to fine you.
But there is a massive, glaring, missing piece to this puzzle.
Which is?
Your human clients.
Oh, right. Them.
The people actually paying your retainers do not read server headers. A prospective legal client does not open the developer tools in their browser to inspect your HSTS configuration, and they certainly aren't reading your structured schema markup.
Right. They're just looking at the screen, hoping to feel that same atmospheric safety they feel when they walk into a physical Mahogany office. Which brings us to layer three of the visible trust stack, making it legible. How do you prove to a human being in 5 seconds or less that they are completely safe on your website? You have to take all of that invisible technical security we just built and make it visible to human eyes.
The psychological data on this is incredibly compelling. We look at a 2025 study by the Nielsen-Norman Group, which is widely considered the gold standard for user experience research. They found that prominently displaying verified security indicators reduces site bounce rates by an average of 9.2%.
Let's pause and do the math on that, because that is a staggering business metric. A 9.2% reduction in bounce rate. That means almost 10% more people decide to stay on your site to read your list of services or read your partner bios instead of hitting the back button out of fear or confusion. If your local business gets 1,000 visitors a month, that's 92 potential clients who didn't walk out the digital front door. For a Virginia law firm where a single retained case can be worth tens of thousands of dollars, the ROI on simply making your security visible is astronomical.
So how do we practically implement layer three? What does a professional services site actually need to display to trigger that human trust? First, you need a highly visible SSL validity indicator or trust badge from a recognized cybersecurity provider like Norton, McAfee, or the issuer of your verified certificate.
So the little padlock isn't enough.
Do not just rely on the browser's tiny padlock icon, because as we discussed, humans are learning that the padlock is often an illusion. Put a verified dynamic seal in your footer and place it right next to any contact forms where you are asking for sensitive information.
And second?
Second, you need highly visible plain English documentation of your VCDPA compliance measures.
The EverySyncCount sources recommend a very specific, highly actionable step here. They advise creating a dedicated security and privacy page on your website, independent of your standard About Us page. You link to it prominently in your main footer. And here is the absolute kicker. On that specific page, you explicitly state the exact date of your last internal security review.
That is a brilliant psychological tactic. It transforms security in the user's mind from a static, forgotten state into an active, ongoing commitment.
Right.
When a prospective client or a compliance officer for a federal prime contractor goes to your footer and sees a line that reads, "Security posture last reviewed, April 1st, 2026, it signals a level of operational maturity and vigilance that is incredibly rare in small to mid-sized businesses.
But that psychological trick implies you actually have to do the review. Which brings us to the harsh maintenance reality of the internet. Security isn't a Ronco rotisserie oven. You can't just set it and forget it. You don't build the visible trust stack today and then walk away for 3 years to focus on accounting.
This raises an incredibly important point about what the sources call the 90-day cadence. The EverySyncCount report strongly, unequivocally, advises putting a recurring, non-negotiable reminder on your business calendar for a maximum of 90 days. Once a quarter, you must review three critical components of the stack.
Okay, what is the exact 90-day checklist?
First, you go back to ssilabs.com and rerun the test. You ensure your certificate hasn't quietly expired, and more importantly, that no new cryptographic vulnerabilities have been discovered in the last 3 months that would suddenly downgrade your A rating. The arms race of cryptography never stops.
Second,
if you use a CMS like WordPress, you must rigorously audit your plugin updates. Unpatched, outdated plugins are the number one primary attack vector for small business websites.
Oh, wait, really? Not password cracking.
Hackers don't usually brute force your passwords. They exploit a known flaw in an old plugin you forgot about. A single out-of-date contact form plugin can expose your entire highly confidential client database to the dark web.
Wow. Okay. And the third item on the 90-day checklist.
Ensure your Layer 2 privacy policy still matches your actual current business practices. Did your marketing team add a new tracking tool last month? Did you change how you process intake forms? The policy must reflect reality, otherwise it is legally invalid under the VCDPA.
And then you update that last review date on your website. Displaying that 90-day review cycle date is a massive compounding credibility booster. It shows you aren't just compliant to avoid a fine, you are actively vigilant. And if you think about it, in fields like accounting, law, or financial advising, vigilance is exactly the product your clients are paying for.
It creates a powerful halo effect. If a client sees that you are meticulous, transparent, and proactive about your website's cryptographic security and data privacy policies, their brain naturally assumes you will be equally meticulous, careful, and secure with their highly sensitive financial ledgers or their personal legal documents. Your website proves your character and your competence before they even shake your hand.
This has been an incredibly dense, actionable deep dive. So what does this all mean for the ambitious professional listening right now? Let's recap the massive journey we've just taken, because we've covered a lot of ground. We started with the jarring reality of Google's algorithm shifts. Website security is no longer an IT afterthought. It is actively dictating 12% of your SEO ranking power. If your technical configuration is weak, you are invisible to the search engines, and the upcoming Chrome 154 update will literally block humans from seeing your site.
We then localized that massive threat to the Virginia I-95 corridor ecosystem. We explored how, for professional service firms operating in Richmond, Fredericksburg, Stafford, and the surrounding areas, client confidentiality and federal contractor flowdown requirements make a demonstrably secure digital presence a non-negotiable prerequisite for doing business.
We looked at the intense financial teeth of the Virginia Consumer Data Protection Act, with the Attorney General able to levy fines of up to $7,500 per intentional violation. Maintaining a transparent, dynamically updated privacy policy has become an absolute legal necessity, not just a suggestion.
And finally, we constructed the solution to all of this, the Visible Trust Stack. Layer 1, establishing the TLS 1.3 digital lock with strict server headers. Layer 2, implementing the AI-readable VCDPA-compliant zero-party data transparency policy. And Layer 3, making it all legible with human-facing trust signals and committing to a rigorous 90-day review cadence.
So here is my direct call to action for you right now. The moment this deep dive is over, before you check your email or take your next meeting, go to your computer. Run your business's domain name through the ssllabs.com/LLtest. Find out definitively if you are passing or failing. Then scroll down to the footer of your own website and check the date on your privacy policy. If it says 2021 or 2022, you have a massive glaring liability sitting in plain sight. Do not let invisible technical debt lose you your next major client.
As we wrap up, I want to leave you with a lingering, somewhat provocative thought that builds on the incredible technological shifts we've discussed today. For the last 20 years, we built websites purely to convince humans to trust us. We used calming color palettes, professional headshots, and highly persuasive copywriting to win over the human heart. But now, we have undeniably entered an era where you have to convince an AI algorithm that you are legally and technically trustworthy before a human is even allowed to see your website.
The machine is literally standing in the doorway between you and your client.
It is the ultimate bouncer. If AI assistants like Google Gemini and Chrome's aggressive active warning systems are the new unfeeling gatekeepers of credibility, we have to ask ourselves a fundamental question about the future of business. Are we entering an era where your primary marketing audience isn't human at all, but a machine meticulously evaluating your legal compliance?
It's a wild, slightly unsettling thought. The internet used to feel like a warm handshake. You meet, you greet, you do business. Now it's starting to feel a lot more like a high-security TSA checkpoint, and you better make absolutely sure your digital paperwork is perfectly in order before you even try to walk through. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. See you next time.